It is at 25 to 8, and it's great to have your company. Michael Falgate from 8:30 or so with Racing Pulse, the Tuesday edition must-listen radios. Like when Scotty Gallen from the Herald Sun joins us for all the latest news in the world of AFL footy. He's back again, just checking the monitors here in the studio. Good morning to you, Scotland.
He's watching Dan Andrews' fine work after his Facebook. Oh, spending $280,000 on his Facebook post.
Yeah, that's fair enough. You've got to raise your profile.
Yeah.
How do you do that? Do you employ someone to click or something?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's only $280.
I'd do that job for him. If
just get the roads right, Dan.
Oh, it's advertising. Yeah, no, Dan.
I don't care about the level crossing, mate. I don't want to spend 2 hours in the car getting from Geelong.
It's part of the road. Level crossings are important. Oh, yeah. Get rid of them.
Oh, my goodness.
Get rid of them. Ding, ding, ding,
it's
ding,
not
ding,
priority
ding.
One.
It's annoying, mate. They're sorry, annoying.
Sorry, Neil Mitchell.
Yeah.
It's all right for you who drives on the highway. Some of us drive on roads.
I'm trying to help you.
Oh, don't start, Jim. Morning, Scott.
Hello, Daniel.
What's happening in the world of footy?
It's a little bit happening. A bit of excitement, particularly down from where I just drove from.
Geelong.
They're in a cave where they come out. I'm not sure.
Oh, have they gone into shutdown?
Oh, they haven't. They're saying all the right things, but they were in the coma position over the weekend. That was...
What's the line? There's normally a company line. What's the line coming out?
I mean, Chris Scott's very good at these lines. You know, time, you're more now, you've moved forward. I think he's not a rev. You know this better than anyone. He's not a... But sometimes I reckon a rev's required.
Oh, he can give a spray.
Why do you cuddle them after they perform like that?
Well, the thing is, they've got 6-7 days to turn around.
What about some
mightn't come back, mate.
Yeah, well, that's why you've got to make changes.
It's different in round 12. You can do that, but...
You are one of the great coaches of the modern era and the AFLW.
Why'd you giggle, Whitey?
Why can't you rev them when they turn up in the biggest game of the year and perform like that?
Well, you can behind closed doors, but there's no need to do that publicly.
No, I'm behind closed doors, absolutely.
After the game, you've got to be pretty pragmatic about it. You've got a game in 6-7 days, whatever the
timeline. So what, you have to cuddle them to the 6 or 7 days?
No, but you've got to get them back on site. You've got to make sure that they feel good about themselves to make sure they can perform.
The problem is with the coach every year, they only probably have 3 to 4 bullets to fire a year.
Yeah, I agree.
Because after about the third bullet, they just go, he's on a rant.
Yeah, well, that's sort of Rocket Eid, end of his dog's days. It was a rant every week. And I understand that.
There's no point going too hard. You can't do anything about it. You can fix it during the week and analyse it, but there's no point going too hard. You've got to get up. And it's not getting any easier. That's the beauty of it.
I don't want to be a genius, but I will say that. GWS Geelong 3 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
Murdoch, Menengola, the second tier, all played great.
They're fantastic. Mm-hmm.
I said to every Geelong person, I said, I don't trust them to do it when it mattered. And what happened? Murdoch, Menengola, and you can list 10 of them.
But they were playing more pivotal positions too in that night against GWS, and they were more peripheral players on the weekend.
Correct. So whose fault is that, Daniel?
Well, when you're bringing back some superstars into the team to play those roles, you're going to have the challenge.
Menengola has 30 kicks, 3 playing in the middle. I reckon you might say, mate, go do that again.
I would have liked to have seen him do a bit more of that again on the weekend.
Joel, that is genius.
We'll ease you in. I mean, there's a few spots in the midfield. We don't need to have to block you all out of it.
Can I ask you, Jimmy, from your point of view, that was, and I know we've asked you this a few times through the year about missing it and all that sort of stuff. Did you feel on Friday night, was that one of those times where you go, this is when I want to be part of it because I want to sort of bunker down and out firing the next week? So my point is, what are you saying if you were there? What's your role in that football club? So what's the role of Dangerfield? What's the role in Selwood this week to keep the spirits up, to keep the confidence up?
Well, Danger's a naturally very positive person, so he's an upbeat person. So a lot of people look at him and he'll bounce into training and he'll just get to work. Joel, being the leader, his messaging will be across the whole entire group. So he'll be almost front of group and saying, sounds a bit, we can do it, we need to crack in, we need to, tick this and this off. Other senior leaders like Andrew Mackey and Tom Lonigan, they're the ones who would probably go around to certain individuals, especially in the back line for those, and just give them some clear instruction to some of the younger guys, like your Murdoch and things like that, and almost, in a way, say, you play brilliant football when you do this and that. And, against GWS, when you played this way, Sam, we look so good. And you almost fill them with air. And then the coaches come over the top with all the technicalities.
So they say, Tom Hawkins said yesterday that he was unaware of the finals record. which is now 2-9, I think it is, or something along those
lines. I would be aware of it.
But is that now a concern for Geelong, what that record is in the last 5 or 6 years in finals?
No, but it is a concern because you never want to lose them, and it's not a great record. But when you actually pad up for the weekend, you're not thinking finals record, and they're not thinking about it this week. Their sole focus is how do we beat the Swans? What? And people find that hard to believe outside of football clubs, but we've had so many guys and Boydie and Jonesy in here in the inner sanctum. And it's a cliche for a reason, because footballers are such in the now and football clubs.
How do you turn what happened last year in this game out of your mind?
Last year's got nothing to do with now. That's how they...
No, I know that, but human nature, you played Sydney in this final and they destroyed you in 30 minutes.
Yes, but it's just what I said then. There's no point reflecting on last year.
No, but human nature, you know.
No, but that's for you. That's for you and me. We reflect upon it and go, geez, how are they going to turn that around? But
players won't think about it?
No, because what's the sense?
Geniuses.
But what's the sense in thinking about it?
No, I know they're not deliberately, but subconsciously you won't run out and go, oh, that was here 12 months ago.
I can't speak for all the players who are going to run out there, but I'd never think about it. What am I supposed to... It's almost like when a side... is trying to break a premiership drought. What's that got to do with them, the previous 20
years
aside?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think this is a bit more closer.
No, it's not. It's 12
months
ago.
It's more recent, but it's not in terms of drought, of 20, 30, 40-year drought.
No,
it's
correct.
No, but 12 months ago, why is that any different from last week?
So is that the coach's job then to make sure that Friday night's not replicated what happened last year and say, well, geez, if Sydney do to us what they did to us last year, we're in trouble. We've got to do something different.
No, you got to do what's different from the previous week. And that's the most important thing. So the guys who didn't...
Right. Jim, I'm loving it. Keep going, Jim. Just keep going.
You've got to try.
Don't say footballers don't try. That's one of my bugbears.
Keep going, Jim.
Or else we're going to wrestle.
They try harder when the drums start to start.
Yeah, and for an away game when you finish second.
You try harder.
Yeah. No, because... the most important thing for Geelong coming in is actually handling the pressure to start the quarter. So, to go back for us,
yes,
Sydney torched them in the first quarter.
Correct.
Last weekend, they got torched in the first quarter.
Correct.
So, the most important...
trend. Theme.
Oh, right, yeah.
How do you stop it? That's what I'm...
Well, you reflect on the GWS game too.
Outstanding.
Outstanding. So... the most important moments for Geelong Football Club will be the first 5 to 10 minutes this weekend, and that's it.
Game on, Donkey
I'm getting
Kong. It's good.
Goosebumps, I think.
What we do know is Cam Guthrie won't be there.
No. Popski. Yeah, Dan Menzel going to be there. Did the coach?
Oh, has to be there.
Chris Scott pretty much admitted that yesterday, that he made a bit of a blue.
Yeah,
didn't he?
Does that mean he gets picked?
Well, I've got a theory.
You're going to say you made an error. I reckon you pick him.
You go back to the structure that worked 3 weeks ago.
So why didn't
Wiley
you start?
Wiley Buzzard.
Why didn't you start with the structure that worked 3 weeks ago?
I wasn't in the coach's meeting. I'm very sure.
No, I think there was a... Geelong were paranoid about Richmond's run out of defence.
Yeah, and...
oh, because they... because
they got small blokes.
Accounted for that. They had 4 inside 50 tackles.
Exactly. So... I think they go back to GWS when they played their best.
Yes.
Taylor goes back. Buzzard plays as the...
it's Buzzard, not Buzzard.
Neil Buzzard.
I would like Harry to go back.
He's going to go back. Week. He can play on Callum Sinclair.
Mm-hmm. They'll need him back for him.
Yeah. So, and then Menzel and Hawkins looks up. He's got Buzzard and Menzel, and he goes, oh, things are good again. I don't have to go running up to the wing. Let's go.
No, they need to improve their ball use. 49%.
Mitch has sent a text in here, and I'd like
Sam
to read
Mitchell.
This one out.
Duncan?
I don't think it was Mitch Duncan by the look of it. It's a 2-7 finals record, mm-hmm. and that's thanks to Isaac Smith. Yeah. Potentially could be a 1-8.
Well, potentially.
Now, how much has that got to do with the MCG and not being able to play the MCG?
That was on my list, Daniel.
It was on your list. We're going to get to the MCG.
It's on the list.
It's a bad stat. I mean, you've played so many great games at MCG, so
you're putting
not...
Jimmy under the pump here, like he's playing. He's in the sanctum.
These are half volleys through the V. this is Stephen O'Keefe nude nuts on Hardwick.
Back over your head for four.
So you were an MCG specialist, but this version of Geelong don't seem to embrace it.
Because it's
much.
A different version of Geelong.
Correct.
Yeah, they're playing a different style of football.
Why is this style not as conducive to the bigger ground?
Well, there's been some good opposition in that as well. So we're big on giving credit where it's due.
The, no, we're not. We're just zoning
the opposition
in
is entitled to play well in a final, Scott.
But is it... I think someone explained it quite well the other night. Like,
wasn't myself.
It would have been you. Like Dustin Martin, when they played at Simmons recently, you could sort of hem him in a little bit.
I think Guthrie did start the game reasonably well on...
He did.
On Dustin. But once you tear your calf, it's pretty hard to stop him. He exploded in the second half, Dusty. Yeah.
So give me your explanation in a paragraph why this Geelong team, the stats are saying MCG is not their happiest place.
I don't think it's the MCG. I think it's the opposition and what they've been able to do. And if they could have played that at Bell Park, and they would
no,
have...
No, I'd agree this week, but I mean over the recent history.
So it's not a bad point, the opposition, because you go through the teams that play at the MCG. It's,
well, Collingwood
have had always
16th
a good record against Geelong for whatever reason, just one of those teams. Hawthorn have been a pretty good team of recent years. Richmond, certainly this year, have turned things around. Melbourne are developing as well. So they're just teams off the top of your head that have been part of the system where they've played 12 games in the last 2 years at the MCG, the Cats, for 7 wins. It's not a bad ratio, yeah, really, when you're coming up against decent opposition at that venue.
But I tell you what, the sides who beat Geelong, which is Sydney in particular, what they do really well, and Geelong's got to get better at it, and I said this, I think, yesterday, is that finals football and that contest is so hot and it's manic, and Sydney have some brilliant players of that. Like, Josh Kennedy is one of the best in the contest we've seen in a while. Jack Parker, Hanbury, these sort of guys. Geelong have got to actually have a little bit of composure when they win the ball inside and find the release kick and not be in such a rush to dump it forward, because the Swan structure is, as I said, Rampy, Grundy, Mills, these guys. They take the back position and they just wait on you to dump the kick forward. So the way they play GWS and you were down there, how many times do they kick it long to Hawkins?
Zero.
Yeah.
You just told me to say that. Zero.
Yes, because how many times did he hit up on the lead on Phil Davies?
And Miley Buzzard was
just don't get Buzzard. Too carried away. Buzzard gives a massive effort. And
yeah, that's all you want.
Yep.
Hold fire, you two. Oh. It's been a good discussion. Really enjoyed it. 13-8. Scotty Gallen's with us with all the latest news. There's plenty more to talk about. I want to talk about Koshin Kinney. I want to talk about Adelaide heading to the Gold Coast. I want to talk about Josh Shackey and what he's up to. And I want to talk about Jacob Townsend. Well, it's been a big month.
Should have been the Coleman medalist.
Welcome aboard the Breakfast Club.
We want stability. We have great faith in Ken. This, Mark Evans from the Gold Coast was at the game because he's a great mate of Sam Mitchell's. I don't know why there is this talk about Ken going to the Gold Coast, because he's got another year at least to go on his contract. And over the summer, we'll talk to him about extending that, because that's the timetable Ken Hinckley wanted. And we have such respect for Ken Hinckley that that's exactly what we're going to do. I don't play games, don't play politics. So and the future, as you see from those young blokes on Saturday night, is incredibly promising for us.
Slightly contrasting story to the post-game discussion there. That's David Kosh. 5AA yesterday couldn't find the cash cow, so they got Koshy instead.
That's what he should have started with.
That's what he should have said on Saturday night. Oh,
exactly.
When he was the angry fan.
But he said there that, well, what's the discussion about, Ken? Why would you do that? But on Saturday night, he said, if you don't want to be here to be a part of a premiership, then we don't want you. We'll trade you. That was from a player perspective. Surely the same would apply for a coach if that's what Ken would want.
And we picked the wrong team. Another clip at Ken.
Yeah, it's a good clip. What do you know?
They don't get on. They haven't since the start of the year when Koshy decided to ramp up the pressure, which, like, Ken, Jimmy knows him better than me. Ken cops that. It doesn't really faze him. Mm. But I think Ken's a traditionalist football person, and Koshy is a great, because he's a media personality who... first thought is to say something rather than think through it, basically. And his spray at the start of the year, that hurt that footy club, because Kenny's like, well, hang on, what's going on here? And then he got about his job, got him in the finals. So there's issues in that relationship.
Hmm.
And look, if I'm Ken and Gold Coast say, here's 5 years, he's been there, he likes it, I'd go.
Hmm.
But I don't think Ken will, but
one,
I would.
One thing you shouldn't do to Kenny, though, is question his players.
Yeah.
Even if he agrees with you, he's not going to agree with you.
Yeah.
Like, he's the biggest player's coach man getting around.
David Koch sat in a grandstand on Saturday night watching the game, and then he grandstanded afterwards in the post-match. And I think that that is going to have a very negative impact on that playing group, because they've been disappointed with him before. And to choose that moment, I'm not saying what he said was wrong, but to choose that moment was insensitive and disrespectful to the players that were out on that ground and gave their all during that 2.5 hours.
It was wrong on the reflection of the game. Absolutely, it was. It was not the time of all the players. It was just bad, is what it was.
Yeah, and that's just what all that's going to do is create a divide between the football administration and the board and the players. And I just don't think that's what was required at that time, considering Port Adelaide did very well to make the finals, I believe, with that list.
Yeah.
And Ken Hinckley, we talked about this yesterday, he made a distinct decision after the showdown where they got whacked by 14 goals that we're not going with some of these senior guys that are not going to take us forward. We're going to go with the younger players. And if that meant that they took a hit in a final, that's fine, because that they didn't think they were good enough to win the premiership. But that experience of the final to a Riley Bonner and to a Todd Marshall, to these guys, will hold them in good stead for the longer term. David Koch didn't see it that way and goes and makes those comments, which is in direct contrast with what the football department are trying to do.
Half, how much would a football department or the playing group really, I mean this in respect, but really care what a president has to say anyway?
Yeah, I know what you're trying to say.
I know we care, and it creates, as we said, we're talking about that divide between Koch and Kenny, and if it exists, but really, as a whole, does the coach really care?
I think the coach cares because of what the discussion is on the back of it and what that does for him as the coach and the playing group as a whole. Individually, they wouldn't give two rats, I don't think. I don't think Jackson Trengove, who wasn't even playing, or Charlie Dixon would have been worrying about Koshy's comments too much, because they know what's going on behind the scenes. The footy department have to deal with the wash-up of that. So I think they would be annoyed by that. I think Whitey's right that there would be a bit of a split and a divide between the footy department and the board, but /Koshy on the back of that.
Would they have more of a worry if the CEO, Keith Thomas, who's the day-to-day businessman of the club, than essentially the figurehead, for want of better words?
Well, I think what's happened, Jimmy, at Port Adelaide is that it's created an edge. So in the two previous years, around mid-season, David Koch has come out on radio and made these really big calls and put the club and the players on edge, and they didn't respond particularly well to it. They played a nervous brand of football, and they missed the finals in consecutive years. So it didn't work what he was trying to do. And he's gone and done it again when they've been able... He has played a pretty low-key role this year, David Koch, and they were able to play better football. I think it's one of those situations, if Ken Hinckley would go, I reckon he would go to Gold Coast. I just don't think Port Adelaide is going to allow him to get out of that last year of a contract. And David Koch knows that. So he can play this posturing game knowing that, well, mate, you've got a contract. We're not going to let you go.
But Tony Cochran's not exactly a retiring type.
I haven't heard much from him
lately. No, Mark Evans might have muzzled Tony. Yeah.
But do you know what I mean? Like, David Koch can say what he likes because he knows that... I kind of get what he's doing is like, well, no one's going to march to the beat of my drum. I'm dictating terms here. I'll talk to Ken when it's time for a contract extension. I don't care what Gold Coast is going to do and what he's going to offer, because I've got the protection of Ken and a contract for 2018.
Ken doesn't want to be there for premierships, though. He talked about it Saturday night, then. He doesn't want them. Koshy doesn't want them. So we'll see if that does apply. It's an interesting scenario and a little fight going on at Port Adelaide. Adelaide, by the way, heading to the Gold Coast. We've chatted about that, Scotty. Nice little play for 3 days.
It's very good. Should they have done it in that bye that we had a couple of weeks ago, or is this peculiar time? I get what you talked about, you know, going to West Lakes every day can bore you to tears. But it's a gutsy move. Hats off for them throwing it up. I know you guys have done it. You spoke about it. I was a bit surprised when I heard, but hey, they're flying, so why not?
Yeah, just get out of it. Get a bit of a release.
Release? Zone back in.
It's a good play, I reckon. Josh Shackey, what's going on with Josh?
He moved house.
He moved house, which is interesting.
Did he move house because he's moving back to Victoria, or his lease ran out in Brisbane and he had to go into new rental?
Yeah, new rental, I think it might have been.
It keeps swirling around, doesn't it? I mean, I'm still getting over the I don't want to play in the grand final bit. And then you throw in the house move, driving his car all the way back to Victoria. Look, he's got a whiff. Josh has got a whiff about him.
Sign and trade.
Yeah, absolutely.
NBA style.
I think it's a good move by Brisbane, given I'm not saying they've got Hipwood. They've got a few people in that position, and he clearly, second half of the year when he signed, he didn't force his way back in. So, yes, he's going to be a very good player, but maybe get a top 5 pick off someone or top 10 pick and go again.
That'll give him 4 picks in the top 18.
If I'm Brisbane, as a Brisbane supporter, like I'm really excited. Because if I know my club's going to blanket bomb another draft based on what they did last year, and I'm saying to Tom Rockliffe, thanks, mate, we really appreciate you, Tom. We're happy to move you on here because we'll be well compensated.
What do you get for him?
You're going to get a top 20 pick.
Essendon's got pick 12.
Josh Sackey goes, you'll get a top 20 pick for Josh Sackey. You've already got pick 1. You've already got pick 19. Oh, gee, I'm thinking with the kids I got last year and the kids I can get this year.
That's
I'm,
pick 18 now, I'm, GWS.
I've got a good future coming up.
Tim's all over this.
The list.
I'm with you. I was going to talk about Jacob Townsend. He won the Liston last night in the VFL as the best player in the VFL competition. But we're going to chat to him tomorrow on the program. So we'll hold fire on that, which is a great get by the R&D department. But Jake Stringer, before we let you go, Scotty.
Yes, your Bulldog name.
He's called two clubs. Well, he's identified. Called. No, not called. Sorry, wrong word.
He got on the block.
Called out. Identified what we were led to believe. Two clubs he'd like to be a part of. Perhaps Essendon and Geelong is the suggestion. So, if I'm North Melbourne, why aren't I going to him or his manager today saying, I've got lots of money for you, Jim?
Everyone knows you've got lots of money.
Everyone knows we've got plenty of cash. Would you like to talk to us about playing with us next year? Why would North be a big suitor in this
competition? They need someone given the plays they've made. My mail is he's not as keen as the club to move on, which I find...
Well, if the club doesn't work, you can't do much.
Well, his contract... So I'm hoping... This is a... Put my Bulldogs hat on. This is a scare campaign, ingenious Luke Beveridge scare campaign.
Ooh.
Stevie Johnson style.
Mm.
To go push him to the nth degree and then late hug and go, mate, you're with us, let's go.
Because you've got another year to run on his
contract.
Correct.
Rather than... You can't trade him out. I know Whitey's... pro getting him out, but he has to be a top 10 pick at least.
It could be both if the price is right coming back the other way.
I think they're mad, and I hear he wants to stay, but it's more the football department want him out, which I find really disturbing.
All right, well, we'll leave that there, but it's certainly a storyline we'll be following for the next little while.